Hey.
Blog Talk Radio.
Clap your hands for Angela.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad to be here.
Listen, I also want to say that Harrison Page is well known for his roles in Lionheart, Sledgehammer, CPO Sharky, the Alan Field TV series, and many, many others.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many other shows and television shows and films. So, again, welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler Harrison.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
That is great. You have had and are still having, a great career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a long career.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to ask you something. I hope it doesn't offend you. Why do you believe that you have not received an Oscar?
Well, that's a long story, but I'm going to make it as short as possible because, you know, it's easy for me to see, you know, to say, well, you know, it was this fault. It was the fault of this. It was the fault of that. It was the reason was this or that. And I believe this, and I've always believed it, is that we all set our own course. We go down the path we should go down, and sometimes we get a little bit off track. And I think the reason why I don't have an Academy Award is because of something that I have done to go off the track. I mean, my career was heading in a certain direction. And I knew at some point or another that something like that would happen. And it may still happen. But, you know, obviously I made some choices that didn't lead me up the red carpet. You just make corrections. You know, people who have Academy Awards, they've really worked hard to make that happen. You know, they've done good work. They've made the right connections. They have, really navigated their career in such a way that everybody has to pay attention to it. And it's hard work. And you really have to be responsible for what you're doing. And I think the reason why I don't have an award is because I just didn't do what I should have done in terms of, you know, in terms of decisions I was making about my career, because that career is a 24-hour-a-day job. I mean, you're doing your own promotion, you're putting your projects together, you're making sure you make the right choices as far as film roles are concerned. It's a big, big, big job. One example
to
me is that you have somebody like Tom Hanks, you know, who was a television actor before he became a film actor. And he was doing, he did a thing called Bosom Buddies. It was a, you know, nice little situation comedy show, but it wasn't like the role for him. But he got out there and worked his butt off in some films. And some of those films were like these little comedy films, and like Splash and a couple other things. I think it's A Man with the One Red Shoe. They were good, but they were not Academy Award performances because the film wasn't that kind of a film. But then he started making choices in terms of film roles that where you could see the entire spectrum of his talent.
Okay.
So it was great choices. So it's all about choices and all about what, you know, in terms of you being responsible for what you do for your career. And somewhere along the way, I just didn't do that, and I've kind of turned that around now. Does that answer your question, by the way?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay. Okay.
How did you get your start as an actor?
Well, isn't this funny? I was born in I went to high school in a small town called East Point, Georgia. And in that particular time, to go to a movie, it was a big event to go up to the main city and see a movie, because at that particular time, Jim Crow, it was a Jim Crow law, and African-American people had to go into the balcony and around the back of the movie house. And I did that. One day I decided that I was going to the movies. And I didn't know what was playing. And I went into this theater, and I'd go up to the balcony where it was. And the only reason why I used to go to the movies so much in the beginning was it was very, very hot, and those theaters were air-conditioned. But when you go up to the balcony, there's no air conditioning up there. So you're sitting up there sweating, But I wanted to see a movie that particular day, and the movie that was there was a film called Blackboard Jungle, and it starred Sidney Poitier. And I watched this film, and this guy was so graceful and so articulate and so like nobility, up there. And I had never seen an African-American or black or Negro or colored, whatever we would call it at the time, on the screen like that. And I was extremely impressed with him. And it inspired me to say, okay, I can do this, I mean, I didn't know how I was going to do it, know where I was going to go. I can do this. Now, that he was an inspiration, but the person who really, really influenced me was my mother. And I was just thinking about this the other day. The other day, because my mother was a frustrated performer, but she really loved television. And back in about, 1947 or something or another, televisions were scarce, and we were, at that particular time, living in the slums of Detroit, Michigan. And I think we were the only ones that had a television for, like, miles. And that television came because the man my mother was living with hit the number. You ever heard of hitting the number?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he hit the number for $1,000, and the first thing he did was buy a TV set. And TV sets were very, very rare then. And my mother would start her day by getting in front of that television set and ironing and watching soap operas like Love of Life, Search for Tomorrow, Guiding Light, The Edge of Night. Some of the people that are older will know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, too.
Okay.
Soap
well, you're not old
opera.
Enough, but you know. So she would say to me, look, I'm going to watch my soaps and watch my stories. And if you don't want to watch my stories, go outside. And I, at that time, and I think most of my life, I was pretty much a loner. There was nobody outside to play with. I mean, I'd go out there, and there was nobody there but me. So I said, okay, I don't want to go out there, because I like being around my mother anyway. She got annoyed a lot of times with me being around her. But, yeah, get outside, stop watching me. Anyway, I started watching those soap operas, and believe it or not, I got hooked on those things. And I said, I want to do that someday. And my mother said, then do it. Stop talking about it. So that's where my first, my first inspiration came from, my mother.
Okay, your mother.
Yeah. She's a great woman. She's brave.
Yes, your mother, that was great that she encouraged you, because when you talk about Jim Crow and Jim Crow laws, my mother talks about it. My grandmother and granddad did when they were living. So for her to encourage you that way was brave and strong.
It was wonderful. Yeah, she and we were we were one of the first people, you know, that whole kind of migration from the south to the northern urban areas. It was a big migration, and there's actually a book that was written about this. And we were like one of the people. I think I was about, I don't know, three or four at that time, and my mother decided that she was going to go, and she went. There was no man with her. She was by herself. She didn't know what she was going to do. But she took her son, put him on the train with her, and we went to Detroit, Michigan, and she found some place to be secure. Okay. And that's how it started. And as far as I was concerned, she was my hero because she took me away from that stuff in the South. Plus, she had some issues with her mother that didn't look too good at the time either. And that's a long story.
Okay.
So she was like it for me. And whatever she said, I said, okay, whatever my mother says is gold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm,
right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, that's how I got started. And then I later on, you know, I went to the military and I thought, well, I'm in the military. I don't know how I'm going to get into, you know, show business out here in the military. But I became like, you know, like we do these groups. You know, these groups used to, we used to get on the corner and sing. I didn't take too much stock in that. I thought, man, this is fun. But I got into the military and found myself with this group of singers, and we were performing all around the bases. And so I said, I like this. I really like this stuff. You know, you perform and people laugh, they applaud, they you know, I like this a lot. So when I left the military, I came straight to California with about $140 in my pocket. And I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was living in this little hotel that was down on Central Avenue here in Los Angeles that was like a kind of a flea bag hotel at the time. And I had a rough, rough time to a point where I didn't know where I was going to get the next meal. And there were some people that were like living in that hotel who actually felt sorry for me and started taking care of me. One lady, there was a restaurant that was right there in the hotel who took to me. And I was so in such bad shape. I must have been down to like 120 pounds. And that woman said, you know, you're not eating well, are you? And I said, no, not really, because I don't have the money to eat. And she said, look, I want you to come to this restaurant every day, three times a day, and eat a meal. And I said, I don't have any money to pay for it. I got to really be careful about my pennies. She said, don't worry about coming here three times a day and eat. And I did, and I did. And I still today really thank those people who were, you know, who were there for me and supported me at that particular time because I was in bad shape. But the other side of that is, you know, I got through that, and I studied. I went to college, and I majored in theater. And, I was actually older than the other students. The other students, they were like, you know, 17, 18, 19 years old, and I was like already like 23. But I went to college, and it turned out that I was better than I thought I was because I was up performing there like every week I was performing because they thought I was so good. So I was, you know, I was encouraged by that. I said, okay, I guess I was right about this. I was right. I had that, whatever that was, I had it. And from college, I went to the audition to get into the Actors Studio. I don't know if you know of the famous Actors Studio. They have one in New York and one in Los Angeles. And it's where the great actors have come from that you know of, like Meryl Streep, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Marlon Brando. I could go on and on and on about that, a number of people that study at the Actors Studio. And I actually had auditioned and got in. I said, well, whoa, talk about validation, you know. And that's how I got started. That's how I got started. And it's really crazy because sometimes I look back on this and I say, how in the world did this happen? I mean, sometimes I really do. I go, this actually happened, you know? And then I started to audition. I got an agent. That's a whole long story, too.
Yes. I was just letting you talk.
You want me to keep talking? I'll keep talking.
No, I got some questions.
Okay. All
right. You have worked on television series such as JAG, Cold Case, Final Trace, CSI, among many, many others. I mean, when I went to the Internet Movie Database, which is IMDb.com, I was shocked. But you know what? I've been seeing you on television for years.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, I have. I've seen you on a lot of things, you know. I didn't always know your name, but I can recognize you. I mean, because CSA, Crime Investigation, Grey's Anatomy, Without a Trace, you know, those I definitely know you from. And JAG and Tremors, ER, all those shows. There's so many to choose from.
Right.
And I've seen you in a whole lot of things. And you are very gifted and talented.
Well, thank you so very much. You made my day.
Well, I told the truth.
I know, but, you know, actors love to hear this. Actors, you know, actors say, ah, shucks, you know, but the bottom line is we love to hear stuff like that because it, you know, it makes us realize that people are watching us and liking what we do. So we love it. Yeah.
How did it feel being nominated for an Emmy?
Oh, my goodness. It felt fantastic. I actually didn't expect to get nominated. We're talking 1992, I believe it was, and I did a show called Quantum Leap. And we did the show, and I did it with a young lady by the name of Tammy. I don't know Tammy's last name right now. Townsend, Tammy Townsend.
Okay.
And she's a really wonderful little actress, and she played my daughter. And we had this thing, and she would sing. I don't know if you ever saw the episode. If you do, watch it. But her and I clicked so well as father and daughter. I guess the industry just took to it. And I woke up one morning, and a friend of mine who was a wonderful actress who was now passed away had called me and said, "Wake up! You've been nominated." And it took me 2 days to actually settle with that because I did not expect that to happen. And it was such a surprise that did this really happen? Yeah, it did, man. And people called me and congratulated me, but it was a great, great feeling. I mean, one of the best. It also spoke to me, said, okay, you're in this thing, and you might as well, you might as well get used to it. You're in it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Right. You also won a Western Heritage Award. I believe it's for fictional television and drama. The show was Bonanza, the TV series was.
Right.
Were there any other winners?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Cause I didn't even know there was a Heritage Awards when I got that. Somebody actually called me and said, "You've won the Heritage Award." And I said, "What is that?" And then he said, "Well, it's for Bonanza." And I did the episode was called The Wish.
Okay.
And it starred a wonderful actor named Ozzie Davis.
Okay.
Played my father.
Yes.
Yeah. And George, a little kid, George Bell, I haven't heard from in years. But Michael Landon, it was actually a real good showpiece for his director.
Michael Landon. The House on the Prairie?
Yeah. The same Michael Landon. And that show, Bonanza, was his first show. And this was his, I believe, first directorial assignment. And he was very hot on this thing. And I had to go in and read, of course, because actors are always auditioning. And he liked what I did and said, "I want you to play the son," and I did. And, you know, it turned out to be a very, very, I believe, history-making episode because it was about slavery, you know, and trying to live and survive during that time. And that family, we were families that had gotten out. My father had found a way to get us out of slavery, so we were out west trying to get property and to live a peaceful life, and we were always being harassed. So it was a really good episode, and it was, I think it was the first episode of that sort for Bonanza.
Okay.
So we got this award for, you know, for doing the show.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. What was it like working on the television series ER?
ER was a lot of fun. I had done a film called Lionheart, and I had played this street urchin who was real savvy about, conning people out of money. So the people of ER, you know, knew about this picture, and I guess the picture did very well, and everybody loved what I did. And they were interested in me because of that character that I created. So they wanted to create this character on ER who was homeless. And I actually went in and talked with them and read for them and created this guy that they liked. And they liked it, and they hired me. That's how that happened. It was fun because ER had a cast of people who were very, very good people and easy to work with. And I had a lot of fun with them, and they were tolerant, and they were helpful and supportive and the whole thing. It was a lot of fun. It's a fast-paced show, you know.
Yes. One of the television series that you are well known for is Sledgehammer, and the character was Captain Trunk.
Right.
And it's, what did you enjoy that series? Did it surprise you that it lasted so long, Sledgehammer? Because that's what you're known for, among other television shows and films.
Yeah, that show, to a large degree, was a landmark because it was what we call way over the top.
Yeah.
It was almost slapstick. He was falling all around and doing things, and I was yelling. And, it seemed to click. And I remember that I had never made that much noise in my life. Because I'm a pretty quiet person and pretty kind of to myself a lot. Hold on a second. I'm sitting in a chair that's squeaking, and I don't like that noise. So I'm going to move.
Okay.
So I got this part because I thought, wow, this is going to be a lot of fun because I get a chance to yell my head off. And I never do this, and I get a chance to also reach, you know, the highest of emotions with this because, I mean, who gets that angry? Who gets that loud? And I got an opportunity. It was kind of cathartic for me because I got a lot of stuff out just yelling at him. But it was, I think, no one thought that show was going to, it was on for a couple of seasons, but I don't think anybody thought it was going to do, because we were really, really over the top. But I get more attention from that show online than anything. I mean, I can't believe how many people like Sledgehammer. I think it's even a website that's devoted to that show. I'm still... Whoa, you guys like, okay, great. It's not something you get comfortable with because everybody's a little crazy. But I loved it. I love doing it.
Okay. You're also known for Lionheart.
Yeah, Lionheart. Yeah, I Lionheart, for me, as an actor, which we shot that in 1989, I think it was released in 1990. It got the patronage that it should have gotten. It would have gotten more, but just about that time the Gulf War started, and it was a little strange trying to get that thing going like it should. But it cleared a pretty good amount of money, so it did okay. But the part was, again, like I was saying before, that this was a homeless guy who knew how to navigate the neighborhood, and found this guy who was from France and didn't know a hell of a lot about what was going on in this country. So he, you know, he found a meal ticket, and he tried to promote this meal ticket to make more money.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was to me a lovely character, a character that I really enjoyed playing, mostly because my father was a musician, and he played the piano, and he has this kind of jazzy way about himself, and he kind of stuttered a little bit. When he talked, but he stuttered, and, hey man, what's happening? And
okay.
I thought, when I created this character, I thought perfect prototype, the perfect guy for this is my dad.
Oh, okay.
So when I, so when I went in to talk with him and read, I thought I'm going to play my dad. And I hadn't seen much of my father, but when I did, he had the personality to stick with me. And I went in there and I read and I did the part and I did my dad, and they liked it, and that's how I got it, and
okay.
I enjoyed every second of it to this day.
Okay.
As far as,
All right.
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah.
All right, listeners, I'm going to get ready to go to break.
Okay.
And let Harrison Page rest his mouth and mine too. I'm going to go to break. And I'm going to come back and talk some more to Harrison Page.
Sounds good.
All right. Talk with Angela Butler. Harrison Page, the actor and Emmy nominee, is on the show today talking about his career, and and I'm glad that he came on. I'd also like to say, listeners, don't forget Ivory Bell, the man with the beautiful golden voice, who also sings lead for Blue Magic. Those of you who can or want to, go out and purchase his CD. And Miss Melba Moore also, once it's released. And don't forget Michael Bunton, our Rose. So I encourage people to go out and buy their CDs. Okay, Harrison Page.
Hello.
Yes. Do you think that times are better now for young actors or worse? I mean, when you look back, and you think, let's say 30 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and you look back to 2014, do you see improvement?
In many ways, yes. In some ways, not. But in many ways, yes. Well, one of the ways I think there's an improvement in terms of actors working and, plying their trade is that there are more outlets. There are more places to be seen. There are more places, like, for instance, film, television, the internet, cable television. There's all kinds of places to work now. People are investing their time in making movies, and people from all over the world are making movies now. I mean, you could, like, for instance, you know, you got companies like, there's a company in Atlanta run by Tyler Perry 30 years ago.
Yes.
Would not have happened. It just would not have happened. There's no way for it to have happened. But he's there, and he's employing actors, African-American actors, all kinds of actors.
Yes.
So,
Tyler Perry is.
Yeah, yeah. So there's all kinds of people can now, there's no excuse. You know, you want to make a movie, you know, take your phone out there and make a movie or whatever you want to do. It's there now. The technology's there. There's no excuse for it. You can't say, well, I can't get a job because so-and-so and so won't hire me. You can't say that anymore. 30 years ago, you could say that. You could say, hey, Fox won't give me a job or Universal won't give me a job. You could say all that stuff, and you could complain and blame as much as you wanted to. But there's no excuse now. You can't blame anybody but yourself. So
okay.
It's there. Now, okay. Another way where it hasn't gotten any better, as far as I can tell, is that it's still all about youth. Youth. You know, the younger, the better. I personally think that's great that it's about youth, but it's also about older people who have experience and a life they can tell when they're doing their work, a life that they can explore and exhibit to the world.
Yes.
Through their experience. It's there, but it's hard for older folk to get work from others, so the older person has to now come up and create his own stuff, which is what I'm in the process of doing.
Yes, we're going to get to that. Don't tell it yet.
I won't.
Okay.
I won't. I'll keep that under my hat.
Now, I'd like to know, what are your thoughts and beliefs about reality shows? And also, do you believe that reality shows will one day be at the Oscars? Because I remember coming up listening to Ron DMC, and I remember people saying, that's just a fad. That's not going to be around. Rap isn't, and it's still here today. It was around 13 or 14, and I'm in my 40s, and rap is still around. So do you think reality shows will be able to do that and be at the Oscars by the Emmys?
Well, let me just say this. Everybody who's lobbied to get themselves involved in the award shows have succeeded. You know, years ago, you're saying years ago that, you know, nobody thought that rap would still be around.
No,
and it still is, and it's huge.
Yes,
still.
It is. It's huge still. Yes, very huge.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's you and I be realistic. You know, the entertainment is called, you know, show business. And, you know, I consider it to be the business of show.
Okay.
And any time any producer or any filmmaker or whatever they are can feel that they can make a buck on something, they'll do it. Doesn't mean a thing for people to say, well, you know, I don't like that show. I don't like those kind of shows. I'm one of those people. I'm not that crazy about reality shows because it's, you know, that's – first of all, it takes a lot of jobs away from actors who could create those roles and say something with them.
Okay.
But other than that, you know, it's inexpensive to do. You know, there doesn't have to be, you know, a union involved. There doesn't be anything involved. You can just do a reality show. So I'm not that crazy about reality shows because of that also.
Okay.
But like I said before, this is a big but. It's a business, and it's about, you know, it's about returns. It's about income. It's about the buck. And reality shows make money. People watch reality shows. So advertisers are saying, hey, people are watching these reality shows. We got to get a piece of that. And they did. And, you know, so that's where it's at. And as long as that's happening, and as long as there's an audience to watch reality shows, and there is a huge audience. I, to a large degree, I think reality shows, just they don't serve anything, but there they are, and you know, and they bring in the loot.
Yeah, they bring in the loot, the money. Yes,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why rap is still here. If rap, nobody was buying the, you know, buying the recordings, the CDs and so on and so forth, rap would not be here. But people are buying them, and they're going to be as long as they're being purchased.
Yes. Yes, okay. Well,
yeah.
You're right. Okay.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
I just want to know, do you realize that you are a legend?
No.
I mean, I know you're probably a humble person, but
yeah.
From what I've seen and watched and read about,
mm-hmm.
You have opened the doors for many actors and actresses, such
mm-hmm.
as Denzel Washington, Will Smith, Wesley
mm-hmm.
Snipes. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that? Have you been told that, or, you know? Cause
You know what? I have been told, you know, by people this. I have a hard time accepting it. Not, you know, I had an interesting little thing with Sidney Poitier once. Because I said to him, he and I were crazy about playing tennis. I said to him, you know, let's play some tennis. And he says, I don't think you're a very good player, so no. And I said, what? I can play tennis.
Okay.
at that particular time, I had a therapist, and I told that too. And the therapist said, go back and tell that guy what you really want to tell him and stop playing around.
Okay.
Don't challenge him. Tell him the truth. Tell him what you feel. So the next time I saw him, I told him, I said, you are a legend. You made it possible for somebody like me to get a job as an actor. With my black face, I can get a job. I said, you did that. And, of course, his knees damn near buckled. And I also told him about I'd seen everything he'd done, every single thing he'd done. And I said, I'm so inspired by you, man. You're it. Please believe that. And then, of course, we start talking. He started telling me about his family. And then we start playing tennis. So
okay.
My answer to your question, my answer to your thing is, yeah, I you know, that's great for people to think of me as someone who has paved the way for them. It's fantastic
yeah.
that they feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm honored. But it's hard for me to think that way because I go, really? I was basically just trying to get a job. But in essence, that wasn't necessarily all there was to that.
Because okay.
there was, you know, I was doing things that nobody else was doing. No African Americans were doing at the time. So it was groundbreaking. But it's just,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I
yeah.
mean. I mean,
yeah, I know.
Back there was, it's so many things that you have did in film and like Vixen, you played the character
mm-hmm.
the Niles,
mm-hmm.
Bonanza TV series, The Whoosh.
Mm-hmm.
And your character was Jesse, Mannix TV series,
mm-hmm.
Captain
mm-hmm.
Chancellor, the FBI
mm-hmm.
TV series, Car Wash Attendant, Tug
mm-hmm.
of War was the name of the episode,
mm-hmm.
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, I mean,
mm-hmm. I know.
Wreckings World, Men at Law, That
yeah,
Girl, Ironside, Sand Capsule, Trouble,
yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot of, it's mind-blowing.
I know. Isn't that interesting? It's mind-blowing.
Yes.
That is certainly something that I've done. But I wish that I could feel as overpowered or empowered by all of this as others seem to think I should. But I kind of go, okay, I did that, and I appreciate you feeling that way about me and what I've contributed to the industry, especially for African American men and women.
But I guess maybe
I'll have to hear it a whole lot more for me to finally say, for me to say you're right, because
okay.
usually what I,
all right.
what I
you
should
are
say,
humble. You're humble.
Yeah, what
okay.
I should say, you're welcome. Yes, you're right, and thank you so much for saying it.
You're more than welcome. Again, I'll say this, I told the truth. Now I have
okay.
to ask you this. You've been
okay.
in film and television
mm-hmm.
since, I believe, 1968?
Mm-hmm.
Since 1968.
67.
67. Okay, thank
mm-hmm.
you for correcting me.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you enjoy the most, film work or television work?
Well, It's all film. I mean, television is film.
Okay.
The only difference between a motion picture and television is that television has to go really fast. They have to shoot, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 pages a day and get out of there because there's a time constraint. Film, they do one page. In a one page, if they get through one page per day, and if it's 120 minutes, which is 2 hours, then you can guess how long it takes to shoot that thing if they're shooting one page a day or a half a page a day. So there's no let's hurry up. Now, to answer your question, I like film better because of the time that you have in order to prepare and the time that you have to shoot a scene, and you can shoot a scene many, 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 many times. And by the time you finish shooting that thing, you got it exactly the way it's supposed to go. In television, there is no time to do that. You shoot it once or twice, that's a print, and it's going to the next thing because there's such a time limit.
Yes. So it's film, is it, that you like the most? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any character that you have portrayed that is most like you? Any character?
Most like myself?
Yes. Is there any character that is similar to you when you're not acting?
There's two answers to that.
Okay.
I would say that the most that I feel that's like me are those characters I played where I'm playing a guy on the street. I'm playing, you know, the guy in Lionheart is closer to me because it's closer to my father. The guy on ER is closer to me because, you know, I feel personally that I'm more that than I am, you know, the lawyer or the captain. On the other hand, when you pose that question,
okay,
I think to myself, I don't know because I don't know myself well enough to determine which is more like me. I'm not sure who that is. I mean, I know it sounds really weird for me to say. Then you mean there's other people who feel this too?
No, most actresses and actors that I've interviewed, they like all the characters. I mean, they like playing different people, you know, being a different person. You know, is there any show, film or television that you like more that you have played in? Do you have a favorite? Or do you like them all?
Any favorite television show that I like more than any other show? Not really. I can't say I favor one as opposed to the other. I liked them all. They were all experiences, all different experiences, all, exciting.
Yes.
Because every job is exciting and every job is an adventure. So I would say there's no real favorite, no.
Okay. Now, you have wrote a script. And I believe sometime next year you told me you'd be filming it? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you like to talk about the film, or is it still a secret, the title and all that?
I don't want to talk too much about it, and I don't want to give away what the story is, not because I'm distrusting. It's just that I don't really want to talk about it in depth right now. But I will say this, that it takes place in a small town in the South. And it has to do with an industry in a small town in the South. And that industry is vital to the welfare of this little community. And that industry does some things that is not, you know, that's not cool. That's what it's about. That's it.
Okay.
Can't do no more than that.
Is there anything that you have learned as an actor that would benefit an up-and-coming actor or actress?
Oh, I would say that there was a multitude of things that I've learned that would benefit up-and-coming actors.
Okay.
I got a story I can relate to you if you got time.
Yes.
Okay. One day I was at the gym, and I work out almost every day. And this is some time ago. This is like, oh, man, this is 20, 25 years ago. I was at the gym, and this kid came into the gym. And he said, and he looked at me, he says, "Ah, yeah, I see you on television." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I see. Yeah, thank you." He said, "Yeah, you're a good actor." I said, "Thank you very much." And he said, "You know, most of those people on television, man, I mean, I could do that. I'm in my sleep. I mean, come on, what are they doing? I mean, I look at that, I go, I could do that. That's nothing." I said, "Really?" I said, "Have you done it before?" He says, "No, but I could do it. I could do it. It's no big deal. You know, I'm looking at it. It looks like nothing." And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, then why don't you try it?" And he said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, why don't you give it a shot, see what happens." He said, "Okay." So I said, and there was a guy I knew at the gym at that time who was an agent. I said, "First thing you got to do is got to get some photographs made. And the next thing is there's a guy over there that I know who is an agent. Get some photographs done. Give that guy your pictures and tell him you want to go out on auditions and meet casting people." He said, "Okay, yeah, you know, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm going to do that." So I guess maybe three months later, he came back and he said, "I got the pictures. I got the agent. I'm ready to go." I said, "Good." Then he left and he came back about 2 months later and said, I said, "So what's going on?" "I can't get a job. They won't hire me." I said, "Well, why won't they hire you? What's the problem?" He said, "They told me I need to go to acting school." I said, "Really? They told you that?" I said, "Isn't that interesting? So in order to do that stuff that those people are doing on television, they have to go and learn how to act, right?" I said, they have to do what they do. They also got to make it look like they're not acting, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what you're seeing on television and you're saying they don't know what they're doing, it's because they are trained in their profession to make it look as if it's happening right now and that is nothing to it. It looks like it's easy because they make it look easy because they're so good at it." He says, "Oh, is that what it is?" I said, "Yeah." So my advice to up-and-coming actors, and I think that what I've learned would be to say, do not take this stuff for granted. It's not as easy as it looks. You want to do it? Train for it and make it look easy. That's what I tell them.
So, we don't have much
I know
more.
That sounded like intense, but
no.
That's where. Okay.
You answered the question beautifully. What I like to ask is, do you ever speak at schools or anything? Do you have any charities or anything that you do with the young people?
I would love to speak at schools. I haven't done it. I would love to, and I'd love to put that together so I can speak at schools. I want to do it so badly that I can taste it. I had a charity some years ago when I was doing Sledgehammer, which was the Boys Club of America. The reason why is because I was a Boys Club member when I was in Detroit, Michigan. And if it wasn't a Boys Club, I think I probably wouldn't have gotten through that. Because every day from school, I went to the Boys Club, so I stayed out of trouble. That's what I'd do if I were asked. If somebody wanted me to speak at schools, I would do it in a flash, in a New York minute. So if you know anybody who wants me to speak at schools, give me a call. I'll do it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So this has nothing to do with film, or television, or acting.
Okay.
If you feel uncomfortable answering the question, then just don't.
Okay.
What do you feel, or what are your thoughts on the criminal justice system?
Wow. In any particular place?
Well, I'm just throwing
just
this
generally?
Out there. Anywhere.
Okay.
Anywhere in America.
You know what? We know, you and I know, and I think most of Americans know, the criminal justice system needs an overhaul. It needs to look at itself. It needs to look at what it's doing in terms of who's guilty and who's not. There are criminals out there getting away with stuff. and it shouldn't happen. We need to overhaul it, make sure that these people that commit crimes pay for it, and the innocent people that are in jail, they need to really, really pay attention to this and really do the work necessary to make sure that the guilty people are in prison and the innocent people are not. So they need to. It's a lot of work that needs to be done. Unfortunately, you got human beings, and human beings, as we know, capable of making error, and
yes.
Unfortunately, we make too many errors. And that's my whole thing about the criminal justice system.
Okay, I got one more question.
Okay,
and I'm gonna let you go.
Okay.
I just want to know, what are your feelings and thoughts on President Barack Obama and the thing he started for young African American youth males?
Okay. Yeah. You know what happened to me when you said Barack Obama?
Yes, sir.
Something happened emotional.
Emotional
to me. Because he always, to me, he always reminds me of Martin Luther King. He has an incredible idealism, and he's optimistic about, you know, what can happen if we are true to ourselves. What I think about him?
Yes.
I could go on for the next, you know, year talking about how much I adore this guy.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how you feel, but when I look at him, I don't see a politician. I see a man telling the truth. I can tell, because I'm an African-American, and you know, as an African-American, you
yes.
can hear a lie from one of us in a second, right or wrong.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You can
yes.
hear
true.
It in a
that
minute.
Is
you can say, oh, this is a jive. This guy's jive. He's not that. He is the truth. And he not only is he the truth, but he implements whatever it is he's trying to do. If he says, I'm going to do something, he tries to do it. If he can't get it by Congress because of those people, whatever their, what their reasons are,
yes.
He does what he says he's going to do.
Yes,
I believe in him. I believe in him. I think he was supposed to happen. I think he's done an incredible amount for this country. You know, everything that he does seems to be for the people and not like, okay, let me collect my money and I'm going home, or let me just, I want to make sure that people do what I like for them to do based on some old-fashioned tradition, but he says what he means and he does it.
Yes.
So this man, if you can mention his name to me any time of day, anywhere, and emotion will come up because I
yes,
really
I understand
am...
that.
You know, I really am, engaged with this man. I think he's the best thing that's come along in years.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe that too.
Okay. Okay. You asked me. I didn't expect you to ask me that question, but
no, you didn't. Most
okay.
people don't.
Okay.
I sometimes throw questions out there that people aren't really prepared for.
Okay, go ahead.
But that
you got me. You got me.
Keeps the interest. That keeps the interest. I
okay.
hope of the listeners. You know.
Okay.
Okay. So, what can be expected from Harrison Page, you, in the future? Let's say 2 years from now, 5 years from now.
What can be?
Do you see yourself, and what do you think you'll be doing? That you will be doing.
I think in 2 to 5 years, I'll be a filmmaker. I will be a filmmaker only. I mean, and I'll be making the kind of films that I want to make about what I want to make them about.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's great.
That's where I'll be. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
And hopefully a better human being every day.
Yes. That's what everybody should strive to be.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Harrison Page. I enjoyed the interview with you. I'm glad you agreed to come on the show. I look forward to having you back. And I'm still looking at this list of films and television series that you've been on. Yeah,
it's a long list.
That's very little that you haven't been on.
Yeah.
You've worked, seems like, with just about everybody.
You know,
Kojak.
Yeah.
Duke the Hazard. Cannon.
Yeah.
Those Ironside. Men at Law. Valley of the Dolls. It's a lot of things. And, you know, I'm impressed.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed.
Well, I'm impressed with you on this interview. I'm impressed with your down-home approach to talk show.
Okay.
But, yeah, you know, because you remind me of people that I grew up with who just talk. I mean, it's very, you know, it's very down-to-earth, and I hear you so plainly. So I'm impressed with you.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. That's a great compliment. That's a great compliment. So I guess I'm going to end the show. We've got about 3 minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I can't think of a thing, other than if I wanted to advise people, you know, you got a dream, follow through on it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it, because there are people who will do that for whatever reasons they've got. Stick with your dream. Follow it. That's what I did. In spite of anything that happened, I stayed on course. I said I veered a little bit because I haven't gotten an Oscar, but that wasn't I didn't get out of the business. I didn't quit. I didn't go someplace else and say, well, I'd rather do something else. I just for a minute went in another direction. So I advise anybody who wants to do anything and it's a dream of theirs to follow through on it. Martin Luther King says, I have a dream.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
He did. And you're right about another thing. President Barack Obama does put me in mind of Dr. Martin Luther King, too.
There you go.
So I'm going to say thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler Harrison Page, and I look forward to having you back one day. And listeners, you have been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler, the actor and Emmy nominee Harrison Page. All right, so I'm going to play the theme music, and I'm going to say good night.
Okay, good night, sweetie.
Good night, Harrison.
All right,
thank you.